Do you see content creation as a hobby, a side hustle, a legitimate career path, or do you want your work to do something more?
Many of our creators want to tell stories that go beyond simply entertaining people. How can they tell stories that can have meaningful impact?
Whether you want to move the needle on social issues or spotlight something more personal, there's always a way to make a real mark with your content.
So pick a cause that's near and dear to your heart, and let's find out how to make media that actually matters. Hello, and welcome to First Frame, where creators come for answers. Brought to you by Telus Story Hive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And on this season of the podcast, we're diving into practical and ethical challenges facing Canadian content creators in 2026.
With insights from emerging creators, seasoned pros, and industry insiders, it's our goal to give you clear and actionable advice you can use right now.
Canadian content creators need a podcast to call home. This is it.
Storytelling has great power, but only if you design for it. On this episode, we're going to explore how creators can use their work to actually change how people think, feel, and act.
These days, creators have more avenues than ever to reach an audience, but not always a clear sense of how to make that reach meaningful.
And what does meaningful even mean? Is it about awareness, impact, behavioral change, or something else? To find out, it's my pleasure to introduce Sue Beely, the Executive Director of Story Money Impact. Sue, welcome to First Frame.
Thanks. Hi.
Thanks so much for being here today. So why don't we start with a little bit about your background? What is Story Money Impact, and how did your career path take you there?
That's a big question. Okay. So I have been working in the independent media sector since 1995 on the West Coast of Canada, and I have just somehow glommed onto this idea that independent stories and stories from all different perspectives of people really help us understand each other, have healthier communities, and ultimately support a democracy. So somehow that got into my head. And my real first big job was at BC Film, which was the precursor to Creative BC. So I was actually running development programs there and mentorship programs, and ended up then doing some independent producing myself. I also had an incredible opportunity at CBC to be one of the founding producers of a late night show called Zed, which is all around alternative arts, and worked there for many years. And what was really interesting about my position is I was licensing short form content from around the world. And my sort of remit was 40% Canadian, 60% international, but looking for short form stories from cultures that Canadians didn't usually get to hear from. And that sort of has really influenced my whole career. So what is Story Money Impact? Sorry, you asked that as well. So what is Story Money Impact? Story Money Impact is a nonprofit charity. We're based in Vancouver, but work all the way across the country with films from all across the country. And our whole goal is to take social and environmental documentary films and use them as a tool for community engagement. And that engagement is really meant to open up conversations and empathy and sort of brainstorming on how we can collectively work on these issues that are existing within our country.
Now let's dig a bit deeper into the concept of impact-based storytelling. And I think it'd be useful to sort of set the table with some definitions for our audiences. So Sue, when we talk about media that matters, what does that mean to you?
Well, it can mean a whole bunch of things, and different people define it differently, and there's no wrong here, right? So some people talk about impact as the amount of reach, the amount of clicks. Some people talk about impact as the ability to have a catharsis. Other people talk about it as I learned something. One of the ways that we really look at it at Story Money Impact is, does this content open up a conversation? Does it catalyze curiosity, or does it catalyze the ability for new people to come into an issue area and want to participate in it? So what that means is it's not propaganda. It's not necessarily just documenting and archiving a movement or an issue. And it's not necessarily content that just creates despair and anxiety, but it's sort of sweet spot content in there that is really meant to help people understand an issue and start to tease out ideas of what can be done and how citizens individually or collectively can start to create action to sort of get positive momentum. So it has a real uplift element to it.
I love the fact that you say that there's that uplift element, because I feel like in today's society, I feel like this type of work is really, really important right now. So from a Canadian context, why do you feel it's so important though?
Well, this is a time of nation building, isn't it? And it's a time where I think algorithms have pushed us away from each other. It's also a time where I think diversity of voice and inclusion is so important. And when you get to see and experience stories that are uniquely from a diversity of communities or voice that are really authentically grounded from experience, I think we can feel more welcomed in. And it helps us understand each other, and particularly across Canada. Goodness me, we have so many different kinds of communities, different kinds of folks. And when we actually get to see characters and understand what their experiences are, just our empathy and care, it sort of takes us away from the stereotypes. And it allows us to understand something, even if it's not our direct experience. And then we're like, oh, okay, wow, I didn't know that, or I didn't get that before. And that may influence the way I think, the way mm-hmm. I talk, what I do, what I buy, how I vote, and just generally how I care, and also how I feel myself as part of the belonging that is bigger than just me and my life experience.
And I think that what you just said is so important, because I know for myself, and probably not the only one out there that thinks it, particularly in the last 6 years since COVID, the world does feel really divided. So I love the fact that you're talking about, you know, finding that opportunity of belonging and that impact, and how do people come together, understanding people and situations a little bit better through this type of storytelling. Now, you use the term impact content previously. So how is that different from just meaningful or educational storytelling?
I would say impact content invites me in to care, and it invites me into possibly some new ways of thinking. And so what I can use as an example is sometimes, particularly on the left, we document things that are happening and we make a film that is really about what the experience of, whether it's an environmental story, let's just use this as an example. And then we think if we show that story to people who are not engaged in the issue, that will change them. But that is not necessarily the right content to invite new people in, because it doesn't necessarily allow people who aren't already of that belief or in that issue to feel where their values align. It doesn't create any on-roads or invitation spaces for somebody to go, oh my God, I didn't understand something before. Actually, there's things in this that align with my value system, and I see how I can engage with this. So there's a slightly different design shift. For me, impact content is content that creates the spaces to bring new people in a very respectful way. And in a way, like I say, that doesn't just create despair and anxiety. We have an epidemic of despair and anxiety. So we don't always have like tidy answers of like, well, this is what you should do so that we don't have this issue. But we can understand more of what are the forces that are at play, and how do we play in the spaces where we can innovate or experiment, or even just sort of shift some understanding.
Speaking of impact, what makes a piece of content actually capable of catalyzing change rather than just raising awareness?
Authenticity. You have characters that are really respectful and that you just really can connect with and their authenticity and their experience. One of the things we love, and there's several TELUS films like this, like The Interceptors, where you have a character that's just an everyday citizen that, first of all, everybody ends up falling in love with. But second of all, you see them experimenting and doing something and making something happen and inviting other people in. And next thing you know, you're getting momentum on what is kind of a thorny systemic issue. And that's all around surplus food, right? How do we get surplus food going into bellies rather than into landfill and decomposing to become greenhouse gas? And so an individual takes on I think I have an idea, right? And then other people are brought into that. And then that whole film becomes like an model for taking to other places in Canada and going, how do we deal with surplus food? And how do we engage citizens in this? And it's sort of like this beautiful win-win. So I'd say one of the things is characters, really lovable characters that are authentic, making sure that you're not creating a piece of propaganda. I mean, the audience can really sense when they're sort of being manipulated or hit over the head. I think it's also allowing there to be room in your story for the complexities or the interdependencies or the gray areas on an issue, so that people who might have other feelings about it can also sort of have a place to sit respectfully in the story. And there's nothing more exciting than inspiration. Like, it's just so fun to watch an audience being inspired, learn about something and then be inspired and then start chatting immediately about what's possible. And that's one of the beautiful things that I think is part of the secret sauce of Story Money Impact. We not only how we curate our films, but we host films. And that means that people are invited to come. It's not just marketing. And after the film, we always hold the space for a dialogue. And sometimes those dialogues are very long. And people don't leave because they want to talk about it. And it's like this metabolization process after having like a really good meal. And it's interesting when you call back a couple weeks later to the folks that we've done screenings with and say, you know, so like, how's it going? What's going on? You'd be surprised how many times you hear, well, there's a new agenda item on our regular meetings, or there's a new coalition forming, or there's something new in the curriculum, or our nurses' meetings are now including this part of a conversation piece that was a blind spot before. Or you just don't know. We even had one gentleman want to bequeath his property to a nonprofit to become a place for women coming out of prison. You know, wow. He's like, I never had kids, and I was always wondering where I should leave my home. And after seeing this film, which is Conviction, which is a CBC gem film, he's like, I just want to make my property available so women have somewhere to go. You just don't know what's going to happen. And you have to have the curiosity. So you have to survey your audience and look for the clues of like, how is this making impact? Do we have the right people in the room? Mm-hmm. That really often means not just the Kool-Aid drinkers, but people who are new to the issue or people who are key stakeholders in the system. And often those who are adjacent to the issue who are not engaged. And sometimes those who are opposed, right. Especially city councilors. When you can get all of that happening in a room where you watch a film and then you have a discussion, some really incredible things can happen.
Exactly. Getting all those wheels turning, right? And everyone gets excited. But I have a question. Where do you see people getting it wrong when they try and tackle big social or environmental issues?
The despair is really, really hard. And where they are telling a story structure where they're pointing out the problem, and then they point out the problem again, and then they point out the problem again. And they may be doing it in different settings, but we get it. We get the problem. It's really hard when you feel so emotionally drained and you're coming out with this high anxiety and despair feeling. And so, you know, you can point out the problem. The audience is smart. And then go, okay, so where do we see people playing with this problem? Where is it changing? Where do we see like positive like experiments happening, or even just conversations, or where do we see cracks happening, or what are the things we can pull or push on that would change the pressure that's on this problem? So one of the problems is repeating the problem too many times. Second of all, is films that are too long. If you really want a film that can be used effectively, it really needs to be less than an hour. We find the sweet spot of like 25 to 45 minute films much easier to work with. And we can take those films into hosted evenings, into lunch and learns, into classrooms, into corporate special events, into conferences. And so you're in the story and you're having this beautiful experience. And then you can have that breath and then go into the metabolization and the meaning making piece. And you're still like in a unit of time that is easy to program and also really respectful to busy people. And often you think, if I'm going to use this as a change piece, I need certain people in power to see this film.
Right.
And people in power are very hard to get. Mm-hmm. So the shorter content works well for that. Now, a good feature that is well-crafted, that just like makes your heart sing and your head spin a little bit, is also a gorgeous thing to have. But you need to think about how you want your film to be used as a tool to then go, okay, if these are the people that I think need to see this film so that we can reduce friction on the issue area, or so we can amplify momentum and where things are going well. And ideally, we want these people to come together in groups to watch the film and then metabolize them and you know, really feel the communal energy of working with a issue instead of like, yeah. Oh my God, I'm just going to go to bed and worry about this by myself and wake up in the morning and feel more anxious. We really want that collective experience. And that is what is so powerful in community. So when it's shared and we each do our little piece and we start to see positive things change and happen, you know, I think we all feel better mm-hmm. and we feel that engaging in society and civic action is not only our responsibility, but it's glorious. And then we start to get away from this isolation, despair feeling.
I think it's really interesting that you talk about the length of the film. And I think this is a really good piece of advice for creators, especially our Story Hive creators who are just starting out, because yeah. I think some creators may feel the longer I make it, the more information I can share, and that's better. Right? Where, you know, in one of our programs, Edition, we work with the National Screen Institute. They are mentors for our creators. And some of the feedback we've gotten from new creators is they overfilm and try to put sort of everything, including the kitchen sink, into it, where maybe it's not necessary and less is actually more.
Yeah, there's something else I'll say about that too, is, you know, when you look at what the information is that you're, what is the structure of your film? Let's remember that as soon as it goes into post-production, your film is old. The issue is still going, right?
Right.
So what is the information you want to put in that will evoke the conversation you want to have as the issue changes? So then that becomes a longer right. evergreen piece. And it's not just tied. Sometimes you're making a film to like hit hard before an election or a particular, and you need, you know, but once the election happens, like I say, it becomes like an archival piece of this is mm-hmm. how we, a tool we use to get to here. But if it's an evergreen issue, like living with a family member with schizophrenia or mental health in sports, again, you want your film to have enough to evoke and catalyze thinking and conversation. You don't want to exhaust your audience.
Right.
You want to engage and tickle and set them off in a direction that's really helpful.
I know we've only started to scratch the surface of this topic, but let's pause the conversation for a minute to have a bit of fun. It's time to play What's in Your Kit.
So Sue, what we're going to do is put 30 seconds on the clock, and then we'd love you to tell us and our listeners which tools you think are the most important when creating impactful storytelling.
Well, I don't think your kit is a physical thing. I think your kit is partly your mindset. And I think your kit is who is in the room and who is behind the camera. Do you have people from that lived experience? What is your relationship to the issue and the people you are filming? What is the trust? So I think it's really, really a mindset. And I think it's around relationships, huge relationships, and your deep care for the issue and your belief that this piece of content can have a positive impact.
Perfect. Thank you. Now let's talk about how creators can actually design their content for maximum impact. So Sue, at what point in the process should they actually start thinking about it? Does it start at the idea stage or can it actually come later?
No, it's got to start at the idea stage. They have to know, why am I picking up a camera and why me? And if not, if I don't have a good reason for why me, where's that other person on my team who is the, like, why it should be us doing this work? And there's a little bit of a mind shift too, is what does this film need to do in the world? Where are there friction points that this film could be helpful? And if so, who are those people? Because I've got to make a film that feels inviting to them. And also, where is there wonderful positive momentum happening? And can this help escalate that positive momentum? So you need to know that ahead of time. So you know, what are you designing? And how are you really inviting people into this world that you're putting in front of them? And in a really respectful way, in a really respectful way where you have some shared values. So if you know that up front, that's going to help you figure out who's in the film, what kind of music you're using in the film, how long the film needs to be. And also with a call to action, where the film kind of gets into that space of beyond just the problem.
And I think also really helpful on the funding stage as well, because if it's something that you're incorporating later on, you've kind of missed the boat if you're reaching out to funders. You really have to showcase to funders the importance of the film. What is the purpose of the film? Why are you creating it? Why are you the right person? All of that is part of our decision-making at StoryHive as to which projects we're going to fund.
I agree with you, Jen. I think it's interesting though. Like, so once I get funded, how does the creator then actually know that the content they've created is making a difference? And what does success actually look like beyond the views and the clicks for them?
Okay, so, I mean, hopefully you're showing your content as you're building it to the people that you are serving, right? So that they have approval and input of the story. There's a beautiful example of a film, Conviction, that I mentioned that was done on the East Coast with CBC. And it had a bunch of female women who had experiencing recidivism in prison. And they were given the cameras. And they did the shooting. And then they had approval of every frame of the film that their face was in. And it was amazing, that level of engagement, that level of like authenticity and respect, right? The film is just so powerful. So in some ways, the person that you are reporting to are the impacted people in the film, right? And that can sometimes be scientists who are trying to represent like a natural systems issue. Sometimes it's a person, a family, whatever it is. But you think I'm accountable to them. And then you're going, okay, when we are doing screenings, I think it's really important to watch what is the audience reaction? What are the questions that come in? And also, what are the kinds of conversations you can evoke by bringing in a moderator and panelists that have local expertise? Mm. Trying to survey your audience, we do that all the time. And after an incredibly delicious conversation, you'd be surprised. You get outpourings of information onto these surveys and people telling you, like, I came in and my understanding of the issue was here. Now my understanding of the issue is here and what they want to do. And then also you can wait a few weeks out. We usually have a local screening partner wherever we are doing these events. And when you call back and you hear what is happening on the ground, so you get that information as well. You can also look at, like, if you're highlighting, here's where you can donate. Here's where you can volunteer. Here are some podcasts that are from folks in this issue area. And you can kind of watch those things. We've passed the hat to raise money for organizations. And we've just had a film that we've been working with that is running an Indigenous training program that, partly because of the support of the work we've done with the film, it's raised a whole bunch of awareness and a bunch of small donations. But more importantly, by going to audiences and hearing the reactions, it has bolstered the morale and the courage and the determination of the people who are running this program. And they have just secured 5 years worth of operating funding. So we know
that's
that program's now in great shape. Yeah. And we also know when we've had folks from screenings talk or answer questions, often underrepresented folks who don't usually feel like they're noticed or heard from or acknowledged, over and over again, these people learn how to speak and speak in front of an audience. We've had Indigenous folks, we've had new Canadians, we've had unbelievably strong and beautiful people come out and go through these screenings, and they have gone on to move policy. They have gone on to, like, change sort of their own understanding of their identity and their culture and their ability to bring young people forward into pride of who they are and where they come from. There's so many places to watch for impact, but you have to create the space, you have to be intentional, and you have to care for it. It's not a plug and play, and it's not just a click for people to be watching this content in their own room. Yeah. This is where we get into the force of 1 + 1 = 10. Because we are in community.
Yeah, definitely sounds like there's lots of ways that you can be successful with your content.
Now, Sue, you've mentioned the P word a few times. So how do you avoid sort of crossing that line from impact into propaganda?
I think you have to check what's your intention and your heart, and you have to be fair that we're dealing with complex issues. And I think that has to show. You have to show that there's struggle, there's people with different points of views, and that these issues come usually because they're complicated, they're thorny, there's interdependencies.
Right.
So it's not just black and white, and it's not just repeating your point over and over again. It's really hard to argue when you see an authentic person having lived experience. You may not agree with everything, but you might go, that person deserved more respect there. or this person should be able to have a little more of that. They shouldn't get off the hook with everything, but the system isn't being kind. It's not helping. I think as a storyteller, you really have to check yourself. I also feel that when you show your content before you've closed it to a few people, and especially those people that you're hoping will be able to use the film, I think they'll tell you, they're like, you know, we can't use that. I mean, we could probably show that to like the 10 people who are the most, you know, angry about the issue, but that's not going to help us invite new people in.
And be open to feedback, be open to those differing opinions. And I think also when it comes to this type of storytelling, be aware that you have a goal with your content. Not everyone's going to react the same way. And being able to really showcase to audiences, you know, opportunities of how they can become involved in whatever the topic is, whatever the mission is, really helps rather than have an audience walk away going, okay, interesting. I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. So maybe they don't do anything at all. To be able to have that opportunity to jump in and know this is taking place or this is taking place, or I can become involved here and I can support here.
I call it the impact buffet, right?
I love it.
So you want to put enough stuff there where it's like, you know, I'm a single mom. I don't have a lot of money or a lot of time, but here's something I could do. Right. I can talk about it with three neighbors or like post a little review or whatever. Or it's like, I want to volunteer, or I just want to know what I should buy and not buy. And the other thing that is super empowering is we sometimes go, here's a glossary, a simple glossary of 10 words from this movement. And you'd be surprised when people start to have the language they think is the appropriate language, they feel empowered and they're not so scared to say the wrong thing or sound stupid. So for example, not food waste, surplus food. I've just learned yesterday, not rewilding, it's naturalization, right? And when you get that, you're like, oh, I can talk about it. And I can explain, I just learned this. That in itself is impact as well. And I do want to say, it's not always the people in the film you need to have speak after the film. So we just did a beautiful screening in Victoria around Indigenous agriculture. We had local folks in Indigenous agriculture and the Indigenous food movement at that screening. So part of it is, oh, wow, this is an amazing film. And I'm hearing this really inspirational story. That then it's like, why is that relevant here? What's going on here? You know, so we had another film on No Visible Trauma on police brutality around the Calgary Police Service. And when we showed that at a church social justice group in Vancouver, they were like, yeah, Calgary, right? And then we had invited in the woman who is the Indigenous liaison to the Vancouver Police Department. And she's like, yeah, that's Calgary. And let me tell you what's happening here. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay. You know, so you want to make the conversation relevant for the people in the room.
Right.
So to sum up everything that we've talked about today, what would you say to an emerging creator who asks you, how do I make media that actually matters?
I think we see this in more than documentary. I think we all know that from the heated rivalry, Schitt's Creek stuff that's happened that's very main, you know, well, not fully mainstream. It's, you know, quite unique in the mainstream, but has gone further. I think any genre can have media that matters. Like I said, we all need catharsis. We all need escapism. But I kind of go, what are the values? What are the values that are really in your story or under your story? And how does it help us as community and society to watch the story so that we can help each other have better lives? And so I often think that's, you know, not content that harms. And, you know, and I think of all the violence that we witness in our media that's just gratuitous, or the slandering. So I think if you want to make media that matters, you go deep and you kind of go, all right, I want to be part of making something that no matter what genre I choose, by people spending their time with my story, we're helping to make this world a better place.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. I think that's great.
And I want to do a shout out to you guys. I mean, I think TELUS has done a great job at giving so many new voices an opportunity to tell really beautiful stories from their own perspectives. And we've enjoyed working with so many of them, and the different lengths. And it's wonderful to have seen TELUS come out from the West Coast and now stretching further. And I just want to thank you all. You've been able to be part of helping diversify our media scape. And I just think there's so much exciting work to do now. And now it's partly about getting the stories that have already exist into audiences in new ways and audiences all over this country, from like tiny, tiny towns to big urban centers. And I think that's where our work is to be done. We need to build new infrastructure for community and story.
Well, thank you for that. I will say I wish we had a bigger bucket of funding so that we could fund even more stories. but very happy to support our incredible creators that we already do.
Sue, it's been really great chatting with you, and you've given our creators a lot to chew on already. But before we wrap up, are there any additional resources that you can recommend that our viewers and listeners could check out?
Yes. First of all, you can look at our website, storymoneyimpact.com, and we're trying to put more resources into our blog that are easier to find. I do want to also say Story Money Impact is a charity, and we are always super appreciative of anyone who becomes a monthly donor or drops a donation our way. You get a tax receipt, and it just really helps us keep humming. Also internationally, I want to point to something called the Impact Field Guide. The Doc Society in the UK has been the international leader in developing sort of ideas around impact work, with particularly documentary film. So there is a huge depth of resources. I try and tell people, don't try and read it all at once. Just do 20-minute chunks so you can absorb it. And then we'll go back to Story Money Impact. We did a research study last year, Canadian Impact, where we are now and where we could go. And in that study, there is an appendix and a resource section that is awesome. So even if you don't read the report, flip to the end and start clicking on the links, and I think you'll find some great stuff. I will warn that when you're using global international resources to learn about impact, our charitable laws and our funding and tax credit processes are really unique to Canada. So some of that international content doesn't translate fairly. So just kind of read some of it with a bit of contextual skepticism.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing those for our audiences and our creators. And thank you so much for being here today on First Frame.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad you guys are doing this.
Well, that was an inspiring conversation, Jen. And what a great reminder of the power of storytelling. My biggest takeaway was that you need to be authentic when you're doing this, that you need to think about touch, move, and inspire when you're thinking about your story that will make it go farther and make it even more impactful. Those were the big takeaways for me. What about you?
I think for me, my biggest takeaway was making sure this is something that you're thinking about from the very beginning. Instead of just, I have this story I want to tell, think about what you want people to get out of your film, how you want people to react to your film, how do you want people to engage and get involved after the film? So instead of just a screening, also, how is your film going to be used? And I think making sure you incorporate that, as Sue said, at the very beginning, right when you have an idea, it's something that will help you incorporate it through your entire process and ultimately produce the type of film with the type of impact that you're hoping to have. That's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by TELUS StoryHive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single thing. And if you'd like to learn more about how TELUS StoryHive can help you along your content creation journey, check out storyhive.com.
Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. That's a wrap.